Hello everyone, and welcome to day 7 of the World 2020 qualifiers. I'm joined again by Andrew Nixon, and it was a very fascinating day today, Andrew.
It certainly was a most surprising day, I think we can say.
Let's start with maybe the most surprising game, which was Ireland versus Papua New Guinea. It was, we in Porterfield batted the entire innings and got 57 runs, and other than that, there were really no other contributions. They never really got going. They made 123. It's a very chaseable target given their bowling, and it turned out that PNG just made it.
That Ireland innings, you know, you take away Porterfield's innings and it's, you know, pretty terrible. You know, Wilson got 10 and Cusack got 13 slogging at the end. Aside from that, there's nobody else in double figures. But then, you know, Papua New Guinea sort of eased towards the target, I think it was probably safe to say. They needed 20 from the final two, and then Norman Vanua just sort of smashed Ireland out of the park. He hit four sixes in his 10 balls face and scored 28 and won the game for them with actually an over and a ball to spare. So, pretty spectacular cameo from Vanua, and a surprising win for Papua New Guinea, and it makes them only the second team after Australia to have won their first ODI and the first 2020 internationals. Although they've had 2020 international status for 18 months, this was the first such game they've played.
Asad Bala scored 32 at the top, and again, had only a run of balls, but they only needed that, so that made more sense than Porterfield's innings. But again, it was an innings that never quite got going. They were 8 down when Vanua did that. It almost looked like they were going to blow this opportunity.
Yeah, and I think in the past, perhaps they would have blown that opportunity. We often see the Papua New Guinean tail throw things away. Obviously, it wasn't the case this time, and you know, well played to them.
It also means we'll cover the groups tomorrow, but it's in their hands to top the group now, like, if they win the remaining games.
You can't quite rule that out. They've got 3 games to come. They've got Nepal, Namibia and the USA, who Papua New Guinea should beat all those teams. Nepal might, depends what Nepal turn up, but you know, they should certainly beat Namibia and the USA. So, yeah, Papua New Guinea could well find themselves top in the group.
Speaking of which, Nepal might turn up. The Nepal that can't bat to save themselves turned up pretty much today. It was surprising, actually, that they got to 109, given that at one point that they were 4 for 17. And again, Hong Kong didn't look particularly good chasing it. It may be that this ground is just terribly difficult to score on, of course.
Yeah, I think Rajesh Palami and Sharad Vasoka, Doug Nepal, have a bit of a hole. They scored 25 and 27 respectively. And it was like Porterfield's innings. If it wasn't for those, that would have been a pretty terrible innings. He probably wouldn't have even made 60. Asif Amjad bowled very well for Hong Kong. He took 4 for 16. But, you know, Hong Kong's innings wasn't without incident. They scored quite slowly. But you know, they won the game. But you know, in this group with net run rate looking like it could decide, you know, even, you know, who gets to the playoffs, who gets to automatic qualification. You know, you need to score the runs quickly when you're faced with such a low target.
Finally, in Ireland today, USA was playing Jersey. Again, it was a low-scoring match. Jersey scored 87 at less than 5 runs and over. And USA actually looked like they were going to pretty comfortably do this. They were number 60 at one point, but in the end they lost 5 wickets. But again, it was still a pretty comfortable victory for them.
It was, and we should probably mention Akeem Dodson got 6 dismissals as wicketkeeper, which is the second best in List A 2020 matches. So, you know, a very good performance by him, nice little record for him. Babar and Dodson sort of raced to 60 in 10 overs, and then USA certainly weren't in trouble. You know, Alex Amsterdam was run out without facing a ball, and yeah, you know, lost 4 wickets for 10 runs, and then, you know, Stanford pretty much steadied it and made it very easy, but they made it a little bit more difficult for themselves than it should have been.
Neither of these teams really look like they're going to progress further in this tournament, notwithstanding Jersey's upset the other day.
No, I think, you know, you'd have to say not, but you know, as we saw in Jersey's upset, you never know in this game. You know, Jersey still have 3 games left as well. It'd be hard to actually rule either team completely out just yet. You don't know whether they could maybe slip through into fourth place, especially as the forecast if a Malahide isn't particularly good and your rain could play an effect and bring teams closer together if it's a shortened game. So you never know.
Moving over to Scotland, Afghanistan rested Hamid Hassan and Dalat Zordran for this game. Well, they brought in Shapur Zordran, so it was not a massive, massive loss, but it sort of smacked of not necessarily taking it super seriously, and it came back to haunt them because Zaman is playing really well at the moment and managed to get to 144. Jatinder Singh again anchored the whole innings, or most of the innings through, and then they threw the bat a bit at the end, lost wickets, but put up a respectable target.
Obviously Maqsood bowled early on, which was, you know, could have been a big blow. He's definitely their best batsman, but you know, Singh and Zeeshan Ahmed and Mehran Khan, you know, got them to that, you know, that decent total, 144 for 7. You know, Afghanistan have been batting very well, but so they should have chased it, but they practically threw the game away.
This was a monumental collapse, really. I mean, they were 3 for 88. The run target was in hand. Aman had actually dropped a couple of catches or had opportunities to take catches that hadn't quite been there, and you thought, oh, they've stuffed an opportunity here. But they took a very good catch running back off Stag's eye, and then Mehran Khan plucked one, a ridiculous catch on the boundary from Shenwari, and from that point onwards, Afghanistan completely collapsed. They lost 4 for 3. They hit a couple of boundaries and over or two later, and then they lost 3 for 1, and that, no one is winning from that scenario. It was an extraordinary collapse, and Aman are in a position now where they can definitely make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this was very much the old Afghanistan that collapses after a good start, and Oman, I think they found themselves, you know, one win away from making the playoffs, and you know, the two games they've got left, well, on paper aren't easy, but you're one of them's against the UAE, who have been, as we're about to discuss, playing absolutely terrible this tournament.
Yeah, you'd almost make them favourites for this game, given how UAE played today. It was a game that they obviously absolutely had to win if they were going to give themselves any chance. Kenya are in a position where if they keep winning, this pretty much means that they will make the playoffs. They're not entirely through yet, but it was a match where the UAE just were very lifeless throughout. I'm not sure Kenya played particularly well. Narendra Patel scored quickly, but he was hitting bowlers who were just putting it in the spot and not working singles the rest of the time. Rekha Patel hit some quick runs at the end. And then the UAE's chase was behind the run rate the entire time. Never really there. That was almost every player was caught in the outfield looking for a lofted shot. There were a huge number of dot balls, more than 50 in a match that only went 17.2 overs, which means that they really weren't turning the strike over at all well. And except for a very brief period when Shaun Umar was gifted a bunch of boundaries from some really terrible bowling, they were just terrible this whole match. It didn't look like they wanted to be there. They left incredibly quickly after the match finished, where they were leaving while the presentation ceremony was going on. And they're out of this tournament, and you've got to wonder what will happen with most of this team.
Yeah, you know, mathematically, they can still qualify, but you know, they'll have to beat Oman, and then both the Netherlands and Scotland lose both their remaining games, which, you know, I think is pretty unlikely. So, yeah, absolutely disastrous tournament for UAE, and even Karim Khan probably couldn't rescue them from the display they put in this tournament so far. It's pretty hopeless times for the UAE, and your match report said that, you know, this year they've only won 2 of I think 15 matches across all formats, and they're just having a terrible time of it so far this year.
Yeah, they've had some long tours. The World Cup was a long tour. They've been in England on and off for most of the last 2 months. So you wonder whether they've just been burnt out. But when you make a comparison with how Oman was in the match before, how excited they were running around the field when they won, and the performance of UAE in the field, where really there was no excitement at any point and no real life. It was clear that this is not a team that is likely to qualify, and as I said, it's probably likely that Oman, based on how they're playing, will roll them in the next game.
Yeah, yeah. I think burnout is probably a good reason for why the UAE are playing. You know, unlike most of the other top associates, these are all pretty much still amateur players, and expecting amateur players to be playing as they have done pretty much non-stop for 6 months is asking a lot.
So looking forward to tomorrow, there's only the one game, but it's a pretty important game now. Scotland will be playing Canada. Canada probably is out, but Scotland absolutely have to win this because Oman's done well enough that there's five teams looking at only the essentially three places that are on offer, because Afghanistan should still go through.
Yeah, and if Scotland do win tomorrow, then that confirms Afghanistan and Kenya as being in the playoffs and will eliminate the UAE and Canada. So then it just comes down to, you know, what happens between Oman, Scotland and the Netherlands. And so it's a pretty key game tomorrow, even though there's only one, and I think you'll be watched very close.
Well, we'll chat tomorrow after that match, Andrew, and sum up where the groups are going into the weekend. But it's turned into a much more interesting tournament than even we were probably expecting.
It certainly has, and it's a shame the next one isn't for another 4 years.